Pastor Riggs, so happy to have you join us for tonight. Are you there?
Yes. Is this John?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yes, it's good to be with you, John. Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, praise God. Yeah, this is, you're working in, and folks, just, you know, I want the, you know, Pastor Riggs to do the whole introduction thing for, I'm sure there are many folks who have heard Pastor Riggs speak about these things on other shows, but there are probably many other people from all over the world that don't know about these things, and this is some pretty disturbing stuff. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a relative of mine, and you know, she knows that I get affected by the negativity that's going on in the world. A lot of us do, and I just want to say God bless you, Pastor Riggs, for taking on such an ominously difficult task. This is some pretty dark stuff that you're dealing with. Would you not agree?
Well, yes, it is, and it's not something that I actually sought out, John. As just pastoring a church in the 80s, we had people began to come to us with various problems, and we discovered that some of them had occult bondage because of some of their history of dabbling in different kinds of occult activities. But as we continued to work with some of the folks through the 80s, we began to see much deeper levels of captivity that were not being resolved through, you know, traditional prayer and just biblical counseling, even removing demonic attachments. There was still not resolution, and I was very frustrated. In terms of the standard biblical model, there was success with those that did not have a trauma history. But those that had a deep trauma history of trauma-based mind control, the splitting of the personality or the splitting of the identity through purpose-calculated trauma through programmers, you know, we didn't know that this was the source of some of the problems until we got to working with what used to be called multiple personality disorder in the early 90s. But as we began to discover that this is a real disorder, in fact, it's recognized in the American Psychiatric Association, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, it's recognized. In fact, it's one of the oldest diagnoses. It goes back to the 1700s. Many people don't know about that. It's one of the oldest psychiatric diagnoses. So it's not anything new, but it was new to me. And as I began to actually see the reality of different parts of a person's personality start to present, child states, cult parts that were reporting all kinds of things, it was kind of off the scale to me. And I began to hear about breeding program and, you know, underground bases. And I didn't do anything with it. I just wanted to help the people, John. And so as we continued to work with these people through the 90s, a global scenario began to unfold that it was all predicted in the Bible. But I just didn't know the depths of that, which actually defines the end time agenda that Satan has in place to basically take over the world for a brief period of time. But that takeover will be Revelation 13. The whole world is going to follow after him and say, who is like the beast? And those who do not are going to face martyrdom. This is for real. But I didn't realize that, you know, so many of these people have been subjected to trauma-based mind control through protocols that were developed by Dr. Josef Mengele in the Nazi camps in World War II, the German Nazi known as the Angel of Death. A number of the people were programmed by him, and their identities split, fragmented, structured, layered with all kinds of agendas, and a lot of principalities and powers interfaced with their brokenness. And so, yeah, we've been doing this for about 27 years. And the Lord has taken this on a long journey from basically knowing nothing to the point now that there's very clear protocols that incorporate understanding trauma as well as the aspect of demonization to help restore these people, although it's not an easy process, to the place where they can become the people that God created them to be and redeemed them to be.
Yeah, amen. One of the listeners just asked a question, and I think you can probably knock this one out real quick. What's the difference between dissociative identity disorder and schizophrenia?
That's a good question. For many years, many clinicians and professionals misdiagnosed dissociative identity disorder, and they labeled it schizophrenia. If anyone has ever seen the movie It's a Beautiful Mind, the lead actor was Russell Crowe. It's a true story. That's a true case of schizophrenia. If you want to see what schizophrenia looks like, just go rent that movie. As I said, it's a true story. And that's a biological disorder. It's a brain disorder. Counseling does not help people who are schizophrenic. It can only be controlled through certain kinds of medications. Whereas, and that's not a trauma-based disorder. When you're talking about dissociative identity disorder, just think about adults when they come back from Iraq or Afghanistan and they're suffering from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. These adults have gone through horrific and traumatic experiences and they're suffering what used to be called World War II shell shock. Well, that's an adult. You take a child that's subjected to severe and chronic trauma, the PTSD in a child does not organize in a single personality state. It fragments into many different aspects because the child is so overwhelmed that that which would be PTSD in an adult becomes DID or dissociative identity disorder in a child who is chronically traumatized and purposely done to split the personality to create a system that is under the control of those. Their goal is to bring in the New World Order and bring in the Antichrist.
Yeah, amen. And so, and for the listeners out there who are new to these concepts, which, by the way, are very dark, and if, you know, this is not PG-13 stuff, folks, this can get pretty dark. And I would caution you, if you start to do homework into the realm of mind control, you better brace yourself, folks, because you're gonna be exposed to things that you're probably going to regret that you even allowed yourself to hear. Okay, now that being said, you know, you probably remember multiple personality disorder, things like that. MPD was later moved over to the diagnose or the term dissociative identity disorder. But in ultimately, what we're talking about is multiple compartmentalization of the mind through trauma, and it's really horrible the things that they do to cause these people to have these mind compartments. And I've even heard, and I'd like you to comment on this, Pastor. Is it true that these various compartments of the mind, these individual personalities in these compartments, each one of them can be ultimately, you know, possessed by demons? Would that be correct?
Well, it isn't like they're separate persons, but depending on the conditioning and the creation of that particular personality state, certain ones can be created to function, well, you are now Lucifer, or you're a demon, or you're whoever they want you to be. And during the trauma and the creation of that personality in that discrete personality state during the trauma, they will charge that through rituals and particular script or an agenda and conditioning. It'll be charged demonically. So during the split, the principalities will come in, even the demons, and I make a distinction between them. They come in and they create the power, the energy that maintains the programming, that maintains the separation and maintains the sense that this is a different person from other parts within their DID system. So it becomes a way in which, through trauma and fragmentation of the identity, a person is made into a weapons platform. And they can be organized in such a way that the different parts don't always know exactly how they relate to others. They may just come out and get information, or they may come out to be an assassin, or they may come out to sexually bring down the pastor or something. They just, you know, they're just doing what they're programmed. But the overall system is designed to be a weapons platform to infiltrate the church and to weaken the church and to come in as leaders and just basically cause the body of Christ to become more detached from the head through being in a very subtle clandestine control.
Well, you know, you had mentioned infiltration of the church, and, you know, it's funny, every time you speak, God bless you, brother, I mean, I write down five more questions, but the infiltration of the church, you know, it's one of the areas that I've studied, and Kenneth, who is also on the line, Dr. Beer, and I was wondering, can you talk to that whole thing, because it's a very dark and troubling situation that I, you know, from my study, and I suspect you know way more about this than I do, but my understanding is, as elementary as it is that members of the Brotherhood of Satan for well over 30 to 50 years now will actually assign personnel, if the church is of any size whatsoever, to become part of the 501(c) board of directors. They will demonically speak in tongues and such like that to trick the members of the board in believing that they're, you know, whatever, the real deal and all that. And then they will steer the doctrine of the church away from, you know, true biblical doctrine. And can you talk to that? I mean, is that what you've experienced?
Not exactly that. It's been a little more subtle. I mean, for me, I can only speak from my experience. I've had people come in right alongside of me in my role as a pastor and function as a counselor and to be a part of the work, and they were very hidden, and their front presenter person functions as a Christian, But behind the scenes, they were involved in undoing the work. They would send out cues and different things that would sabotage and undo the work without me knowing it. So the infiltration is such that because of the way they're structured, they want to assign themselves to come alongside the pastor, and if they're doing the kind of work that I'm doing, is to undo any progress. And, of course, to cue them out and get them involved in rituals. And there are a whole – I have this on my website. There are people who look like clones of me. I guess there are those that represent who I am as someone as a programmer. And I've had this universally, even when I was in South Africa. I mean, the people there that they said they've seen me as a programmer. And we now know that there are doubles and there are clones. This kind of technology has been in place for many, many years. It's just not public. In other words, that which represents the hidden power elite, they understand that the biggest potential threat to bringing about a new world order under Antichrist is a church that is walking in fellowship with God and fellowship with one another and who is alive to the Lord and is able to be proactive in terms of spiritual warfare. The enemy is going to do what he can to infiltrate any potential threat or real threat and position himself in such a way that to come alongside, just like the Gibeonites, remember, in Joshua, or the Philistines are always trying to come in alongside and be a part of the work of God, and basically to corrupt it and to weaken it and to bring about compromise. And so false teaching or steering away from orthodox teaching, that's certainly a part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ken? Hey, Pastor Riggs, thank you for taking the time to come on the show tonight. This is Kenneth. I just want to thank you for the work you do. I spent a little time on your webpage today, and I really got a sense that you love Jesus, and I'm just so excited to get to talk with you. The question I had for you, we're on the extreme end with regard to kind of the really radical type of operations of Satan, so to speak. You know, he comes in one of two ways when he attacks. He's either as the angel of light or as the roaring lion. So he'll come to entice us or he'll come to terrify us. Do you think this this next little timeline, not timeline, but progression I'm going to mention is a fair assessment from what you've seen? Like on the far left, maybe, if we just look at it on a line, we have the mass population. We have the work of like Bernay with his propaganda and his media relations, and then you move it a little bit further to the center, you got Tavistock and like the Rand Corporation, then you get into the Nazi mind control, and there's a really good book, I don't know if you've seen it, a psychiatrist wrote it, I think he was Norwegian or Dutch, it was Philip Mirlo, it's called The Rape of the Mind, and then you get into the MK Ultra, and then you get into finally the really dark stuff that you battle. Is that a fair assessment of what you see? Because, you know, we've got Paul talking about this tearing down of strongholds, those are things that come between us and knowing the Lord. Do you think that's a fair assessment about the terrain that's out there in terms of our minds being subject to the enemy?
Well, you know, every Christian faces spiritual warfare at a different level. The difference between this particular level, and you mentioned MKUltra and the mind control projects, is the purposeful splitting of the person's identity or their mind through trauma. And through the trauma, then structuring in hidden agendas and demonizing different parts. That's a whole another level. This was developed in Nazi Germany. The CIA picked up on the technology to create hidden agents that didn't even know they were agents. So, you know, that is a fair assessment. It's multi-pronged. In other words, the infiltration of government and, of course, the church, the whole infrastructure. If people have not read The Black Awakening by Russ Dizdar, he gives his history of working with multiples and those that are subjected to mind control program. He refers to many in his book as super soldiers, that is, those that were created, programmed to, under a synchronized signal, when the signal is given, these super soldiers will come out and they have specific targets that they will take out there, and they're out there by the millions. They don't even know this. This is hidden within them. They're called the Black Awakening Super Soldiers. If people haven't read that book, he gives a very clear history of that. That particular level is real, and it's a part of the whole end-time scenario to create havoc and then bring about martial law, then bring about a totalitarian state. That's all in play, and it will happen. We don't know when, but it everything is in place. But then there's other levels. There's levels that have to do with the second heavens. In other words, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was caught up to third heaven, that is to paradise. Well, then there's the second heaven, then there's the first heaven, which is the atmosphere around the Earth and the stellar universe. But then dimensionally, not spatially, the second heaven is the domain of Satan. He has access to the first heaven and is the prince power of the air in the second heaven. Everyone's DID system is really contained in the second heavens. Now, this is not a spatial separation. This is dimensional. And so as you're working with people and dismantling these structures and these dissociated realms where they have their identity has been fragmented and demonized, as they come together and are unified, then these aspects of themselves have been taken captured by Satan are actually contained in hell in the second heaven. But people have to understand this is not spatial, it's dimensional, and it is spiritual. So that as this work is being done, that barrier, that defense system that the adversary has in the second heavens is being diminished so that a pathway is literally being cleared for Jesus Christ to return from the second heaven to meet the church in the air at the rapture. But that ground must be cleared. It just like Canaan needed to be cleared in the Old Testament for the children of Israel to take possession of their inheritance. So the church, at this level of warfare, you have to dispossess principalities and powers in the heavenlies, because that's where our warfare is, and release people that are captive in this domain. So dissociations, the second heaven, this is all a spiritual kingdom that we've been working with for a long time, and we see the fruit of it. We just got back from South Africa, six of us, and on our website under SRIDID, unfortunately we didn't get the Cape Town audios, but we do have the Pretoria seminar that we gave, so people want to have the opportunity to see what a seminar is like that we present to counselors and people who are working in this area. They can listen to those audios of at least one seminar that we gave in Pretoria that gives the whole framework, the whole spectrum of what we're facing. And the primary target that we're dealing with now is the hybrid breeding program to bring in a whole new species of man that will replace us with a new evolutionary, as they would say, a final evolutionary leap where man can become like a godman, a ubermensch, as was the goal in Nazi Germany.
Wow. Kenneth?
Yeah, that's powerful. That's a very, very powerful assessment there. Thank you. I don't know if you would be able to comment at all about this term that I kind of always laughed about, but then I actually took it to heart and addressed it, and this whole concept of soul ties and whether or not there's any evidence of that when you get into this deeper, because, I mean, a lot of us struggle with all sorts of things, but then as you move into this very specific realm where you focus, are there still elements of that soul tie that that the people have to deal with, or is this way beyond a simple soul tie?
Well, it includes that, but it is significantly more than that. For example, one of the primary focus that we did when we were giving our seminar, we took four people who were multiples, SRIDID, that were substantially resolved as a part of our seminar presentation in South Africa. One of the first things we focused on are bonds. That is, a child is symbiotically bonded with her mother in the womb. So the child does not have a separate sense of self from the mother until about 18 months. The cult programmers understand this. So what they do is that they do all kinds of trauma to the mother who sets up a trauma base in the child before birth. Then right at birth, all kinds of abuse come from human beings. And then there are hybrids there who don't abuse them. And so the natural inclination is to get away from, escape from that which is the abuse coming from humans and bond to that which is a hybrid. And by so doing, they create a very strong bond at a very deep primal level that is not only a soul tie, but it's also a spiritual tie. And to undo this, at the deepest level, you have to go into these primal bonds that were purposely connected with hybrids so the person's identity can become separated. Because in that level of their identity, they see themselves as hybrids. They actually see themselves as Nephilim. They're really not, but because it's symbiotically connected, you have to break those bonds so that part of the identity can be released. Now, what I'm saying, probably no one's ever heard of this before, but it was because of this understanding that we spent 3 weeks in South Africa, because all the counselors and everyone down there hit the wall. They just were stuck. And our sponsor, when they heard this kind of information, she, who is over many counselors down there, says, this is what we need. Will you come to South Africa and help us? So even though many will not be able to even have a category for this, those that work with trauma-based mind control, dissociative identity disorder, they can connect with this. Those that don't have this frame of reference, I can understand the difficulty and the struggle like, well, where's God in all this? Isn't he sovereign? Absolutely. You know, if he wasn't sovereign, I'd have been dead a long time ago. But here's the thing, and I would just say this. When I first started this, you know, I had a solid theological framework. I mean, I had, you know, gone through good theological training, and I had a systematic understanding of the Trinity and the attributes of God and his character. But when I got into this, I realized that my view of God was too small, mm-hmm. and my view of Satan was too small. But when I was thrust in this work, Satan got a whole lot bigger than my biblical framework for him. And so in order to survive, I had to have my God framework significantly enlarged to deal with the magnitude of evil that in reality is in the Bible. It defines Satan, but evangelical Christians are completely asleep for the most part.
Amen.
As to the level of evil that this entity represents and his ability to deceive. And God is absolutely sovereign, but the point is, that why is the church in such weakened condition today if something very drastic is happening? I mean, the church is really no threat to the enemy here in the West.
I don't see
any ministry right now that is a viable threat to what I have seen in terms of what the enemy is doing.
Oh, absolutely. Amen. As a matter of fact, we here on this show, we're constantly, you know, taking time to help people understand, you know, the concepts of spiritual warfare, their mandate. They're, you know, through the obedience of Jesus Christ, his bondservants of Jesus Christ, to, you know, command the devil out in the name of Jesus. And it's a big part of our walk, and you're right, the churches are absolutely lax, and there's very, very few ministries out there that do any teaching whatsoever about how, you know, to enabling the body of Christ and teaching them to be appropriate apostles and disciples and getting out there and laying hands on people and commanding the devils to get out. You know, praise God, you know, there some of us are waking up, and with your help and the work that you're doing, just can you help people understand, just in case we have some folks that are kind of new to these concepts, you mentioned the term hybrid Nephilim. You know, can you redefine these terms, hybrid Nephilim, for these people in the realm of or within the scope of what you have uncovered in the last several years?
Well, I think in terms of a biblical framework, if we look at Genesis 6, 1 through 4, we see in that context there that the B'nai HaElohim, the sons of God, and they're further defined in Job 1, 6, 2, 1, I think 38, 7, as angels. They're very clearly angels. They're sons of Adam and sons of God. In that passage, they married, they took women, and they produced a hybrid offspring called Nephilim, or the heroes of renown in Genesis 6, 4. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says the angels that sinned were thrown into Tartarus. Well, that's certainly not Satan. He's not thrown into any prison. And Jude 6 and 7 talks about these same entities, that they did not guard their assigned sphere of rule, but they abandoned their koinonia, that is their spiritual dwelling, and they took on physicality. And verse 7 says that they, like Sodom, they went after strange flesh. And so there's a group of angels that were judged and punished for joining with women in Genesis 6, producing a hybrid offspring. And you know, some people say, well, you know, Matthew 22:30 says, well, angels in heaven neither marry or given. That's the whole point. The angels in heaven don't. These abandoned heaven, and they rebelled, and they took on. So what Jesus says in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the return of the Son of Man. Well, what was taking place? Marrying and giving in marriage. Well, what kind of marriage was it? And so, but what we see happening today is exactly what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. So if we don't understand what was going on in the days of Noah, why would God wipe out the entire human race, except for Noah and his family? Because the Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman is Christ, is to crush the seed of the serpent. So Satan came in to bring in his seed to wipe out the human genome so that it would no longer be purely human, and then therefore Jesus couldn't come as a man and redeem us. That was the conspiracy in Genesis 6. So what happened then is happening today.
Amen.
And in all over the world, I mean, this, when I went to South Africa, it's happening there. I mean, we've been invited to go to Germany. Pastors are working with us over there. But the church is asleep. I mean, when's the last time has any of your listeners in a pew heard the correct exegesis of Genesis 6, 1, 2, 4? How many have heard a message on the Nephilim, the hybridization, the reason why God judged the entire world and destroyed it? Very few. see, the problem is that the pulpits have been dumbed down, or they've been made to believe the lie that the sons of God are the line of Seth, and therefore there's no fallen angel hybrid issue at all.
Yeah, it's like they cut out entire chunks of the scripture, the giants, the whole thing. It's just, and you don't hear about the devil, you don't hear the word hell. I mean, we're talking about itchy ears doctrine on a level that I never in my entire life imagined would degrade to, and we're suffering from that right now. And praise Jesus, that's why it's just a total blessing to be able to have such a forum as we have right now and get the word out to people, because Ezekiel 34 is very clear. Woe unto the shepherds, you're not feeding my sheep. Well, guess what? There are sheep listening to this radio show right now. Praise Jesus. And these sheep need to be enabled and understand that they are masters of the devil, and we need to get out there and do what's right and be obedient to our King Jesus Christ. Will you talk to us? What are these programmers? You mentioned, here's a couple of things that you mentioned in passing, and some people might not know about this. You mentioned programmers. Where are these programmers coming from, and what do they do? Let's just go ahead and cover that before I jump into this next thing. Who are these people?
Well, to answer that more directly, in terms of what people can look up on our website, if you go to my website, which is dougriggs.org, and under the SRA DID tab, which is Satanic Ritual Abuse /Dissociative Identity Disorder, if you go to that tab, scroll down, you'll see pictures of Mengele, and we have interviews of those who remember Mengele. There are many that have replaced Mengele, that they were trained to what kind of trauma, what kind of protocols, what kind of systematic ways of torture to create maximized splitting and demonization. There are protocols. And so there are many of the, a lot of these are in medical facilities or in military facilities. These individuals are often, they can be split. Mengele was not split, but they can be split. So they have parts inside who carry out programming protocols while the presenter person is not even aware of it. Often children of incest, the biological father could be involved in some level in doing the programming, maybe not at the higher level. But there's a whole system, even within the government, within the CIA, there was a particular group behind Estabrook and some of these guys, Jolly West. They were actually formed a coterie, a group where they were in charge of creating Manchurian Candidate. Dr. Ewan Cameron in Montreal, Canada, it was all sponsored by the CIA to do depatterning and create mind control slaves. So it's written. Unbeliever, Dr. Colin Ross, he wrote a book called Project Blue Book, and I think it's been rewritten. He's a secular psychiatrist, but he renamed the book. I think it's called The CIA Doctors, and he just documents the plethora of accounts that were actually, he got through Freedom of Information Act, of the government projects involved with this kind of thing you're talking about in terms of trauma. But when it comes to those that are in the New World Order, they go way beyond the CIA. The CIA is a front for that. You get into the higher levels of programming. The reports that I have now, John and Kenneth, is that hybrids are now doing the programming. And see, when I began, this wasn't the case. But I would have to say now the sophistication and the complexity is so vast. When I came across working some of these younger people, that the hybrids are doing the programming, it makes it a real challenge, because the supernatural power and capacity they have to not only do all kinds of trauma, but to channel in spirits and to create a very complex mind control slave is off the scale. But having said that, God comes in, and I am now, even though I'm working with that level, I'm seeing resolution happen in what took me 10 or 15 years at some of these higher levels while I was on the learning curve. It's cut way down. I mean, the ability to go in and see the work undone is accelerating, and so it's just like the net or the snare that the enemy has set. God is now, as we get more on board of what's going on, is catching the enemy in the snare in which he set for his people. But it's been a real battle.
Amen. And to expand, and keep me honest here, Pastor, but to expand for the listening audience, particularly those who are not adept at these types of things, basically what we have, believe it or not, folks, is what the so-called conspiracy theorists, or factualists, if you will, have been warning people for, well, decades of time. It's a shadow government, and at the very top of this shadow government, you could argue that it's a collective of very powerful, very wealthy Luciferians. that, you know, that worship the devil, ultimately, and other things. It's pretty awful. And they are very powerful people. We're talking about, in some cases, trillionaires. Okay, it was estimated by John Coleman in the book Committee of 300 that the average net worth of the individuals in the Committee of 300 at the time he wrote the book was over $400 trillion per individual. So these people, this shadow government, it's at the upper echelons of all of the militaries in the major developed countries of the world. CIA, Israeli Mossad, you know, the KGB, every MI6, all of these agencies, these are, as the pastor pointed out, are front agencies. And they're ultimately the soldiers, some of them, are soldiers that, you know, create this, let's just call it a protective militaristic layer of protection around these folks. So when you study what these entities do, these many of these people, these children, these victims are raised in families. These families have been doing this kind of thing for decades and decades of time. If you wish to call them the Illuminati, go ahead, but it doesn't, it's not limited to just that group or that title. Okay, and when they have programmers set up, they have special bases. These are heavily funded, millions of dollars. They have soldiers with machine guns watching the roads and the entryways for miles around. The whole deal is very, very dark, and they've been doing it for decades of time, and it's just absolutely horrible. How bad do you think it is? I mean, what is your estimation, Pastor, of how, you know, what percentage of the population do you think has been affected in one way or another from this threat?
Going back to Dr. Colin Ross, said that in terms of first generation, he estimated about 10 million that would be in the population, but we're now down into third and fourth generation. So if you look at 10 million from post-World War II, and that was 10 million, if you just conservatively, I mean, you could go anywhere from, 50 million or so. You know, even if you're just conservative and just say that there was, even with the fourth generation, only 10 million. What would it be like if you had 10 million Virginia Tech people out there or Laughlin type of shooters?
Mm-hmm.
It's incomprehensible. Mm-hmm. So these people are programmed and cued to go off with specific assignments. I mean, that's just the super soldier level. This doesn't even address the higher levels that are behind the kings of the earth, Psalm 2. Psalm 2 says the kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and his anointed. These same kings, you find them on the battlefield making war against the Lamb and his armies in Revelation 19:19. You know, I mean, how did they get there? Who's connecting the dots? I really appreciate Russ Dizdar in his book, Black Awakening, and his ministry. He really addresses that. My work is not so much addressing the super soldier kind of thing, but it's more the spiritual interface with the members of the body of Christ that have been specifically set apart generationally to create a block, to create a barrier, to thwart the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, he's going to come about at his own time, but at the same time, there is a real war going on, and Satan wants to extend his time as much as he can, because once certain prophetic events lock in, and my understanding is when Daniel's 70th week finally kicks in, the time frame is completely out of his hand. Right now, and I tried to cover this under the Byte Show on there on the prerequisites for the coming of Christ. There are certain prerequisites that are indefinite. That is, the church must attain the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. The fullness of the Gentiles must come into the body of Christ through world evangelization. I mean, we don't know what those numbers and that fullness looks like, but it is there. When that happens, and I believe that it's all converging, we're living in the generation that this is going to happen. Once that happens, then the adversary loses complete handle on history. Right now, he's got more flexibility. Once the rapture of the church occurs, the prophetic clock for Israel automatically kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's in abeyance. I mean, there's prophecy being fulfilled, but we're not in Daniel's 70th week yet. We're not there. The covenant hasn't actually been confirmed with the Antichrist in Israel. I mean, these are prophetic realities. But the point is, Jesus said in Matthew 24, this generation, that is the generation that sees all the signs that he prophesies there in Matthew 24, will not pass away until all these things fulfilled. Well, when you look at the things that he says there, this generation will not pass away. The generation began in 1948. And that generation will not pass away until all these things fulfilled. And what's the result? Jesus returning. So we're, 60-some years into that generation. So we don't know the day or the hour, but we can absolutely know, if we know the Word of God, that we're living in the last generation. We can't predict the time because we can't. But on the other hand, Matthew 16 makes it very clear we should know the season. And we live in the end of the end, the final season in which Jesus will return. And so what kind of manner of life should we live?
Oh, amen.
I mean, I'm doing this work on trauma-based mind control, but that's secondary. The primary purpose for doing all this, or for who we are living this generation, is Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8, and that is the bride has made herself ready. And that means we have to become a people that is without spot or wrinkle. That should
amen.
Be our priority.
Ephesians 5:27.
I'm doing this particular work because that's my part, but everyone out there should be actively involved and say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do in my life? What do I need to do in my sphere of influence so that I can be actively involved in making the bride ready, that is, without spot or wrinkle, without spot, without defilement, wrinkle, nothing of the old humanity, that which comes out from Christ and is a representative of who we are as a new creation.
Amen, Pastor Riggs. That's powerful. We are the last generation. Hey, you mentioned the Monarch programming, and we see this with a lot of the popular stars like Britney Spears and that Aguilera, and there's Madonna, and this Whitney Houston tragic death. I'm not sure if you're able to address any of this, but there's even that one, I think her name is Beyonce, and she has that alter ego. She's talked about Sasha Fierce or something like that. Do these things also fall under that same sort of mental programming, or is this something different?
Yes, Britney Spears, bless her heart. I've seen her switch, and she's gone into different parts, and she's been on programs where she goes into child state. So it is tragic. Now, I don't know if it's been specifically Monarch or mind control programming. It could be just incest, but I will say this, that working with a girl now, I won't mention her by name, from South Africa, she has been personally involved with these people that you mentioned in terms of high-level rituals. And so this is what she's reported, and others as well. So, yeah, Hollywood is filled with this kind of thing because Hollywood is the propaganda machine that is actually indoctrinating the masses to get ready for what's called the disclosure, that the alien disclosure thing, and the great deception that Paul refers to in 2 Thessalonians 2. So, probably the number one propaganda machine is the music industry as well as Hollywood indoctrinating and preparing the masses for the final reign of Antichrist. And so a lot of those people there are multiples, and they are able to be used to carry out all kinds of agendas and release powers through rituals because of their dividedness and because of the way they're programmed and structured.
Amen. Listen to this. I'd like you to comment on this clip. This is Lady Gaga. This is a 30-second clip. I'd like you to hear this. You may be familiar with it already, but this is very telling, and let's just play this real quick. Praise Jesus.
Just about bringing people together, and the performance we did last night at the Grammys was and what we've been doing with the egg and the rebirth.
Yeah.
It's meant to signify an artistic statement of birthing a new race, and it's a race with no prejudice, a race within the race of humanity bears no prejudice against anyone. So that's really the statement in itself.
Well, let's hear it again.
Of course, notice everybody's applauding. That was on February the 14th of 2011 on The Tonight Show, A Race Within the Race of Humanity. Would you care to comment on that, Pastor?
Yes, if people are familiar with the work of Tom Horn, he's done Nephilim, Stargates 2012. He's done Forbidden Gates, of course, Pollyon Rising, I think 2012. Especially the Nephilim, Stargates, and, of course, Forbidden Gates. Just in terms of what DARPA is doing, Jason, these groups within the military are producing super soldiers, and the whole goal is to, if you look up Ray Kurzweil, a genius, the singularity or the transhumanist movement, this is all a move for the human race based on the evolutionary model to evolve and come to that place of singularity where machine, were the best of the DNA of animals, the best of DNA of humans, and of course the best of the DNA of aliens, which we know where that's leading, will produce a Homo sapien 2.0. That is, it will replace the inferior humanity that we are, and it will replace us with a humanity that will be superior in every way and bring in a new age. And that's what she's talking about. Now, this is not just in the media. like what you just gave an example of. But you can go to look up DARPA, the JASON, that particular group that's associated with the Pentagon that is cutting edge in bringing about or creating super soldiers and hybridization of the human race. I mean, the race is on. I mean, the Pandora's box has been opened, and those books are there. I mean, people can read it, and this is what is available in terms of information to the public. But all that what Tom Horn has written about, accurate as it is about 30 or 40 years old. In other words, what's really going on in the underbase laboratories, if people look up Paul Schrader, he was assassinated in 1996. He was involved with all these underground bases, military bases, an engineer and geologist. And there were, I think, 133 underground bases from a mile to 2 miles below the earth, and they're all connected by tunnels. I mean, this is for real.
Okay.
And I can send people the link, you know.
Well,
and this,
talk to us
this
about
is there.
That. Talk to us about that, okay? So, you know, so many of us out there, many of us have, some of us have, some of us haven't, have studied, in some cases for years at great expense, these concepts, deep underground military bases, you know, this stuff. Can you talk? What do you know? What do you know about all this stuff?
Well, when I first heard about it, John and Kenneth, I said, okay, this is, I don't know, I don't have any way to vet this or verify it. I just want to help the people get better. So for many, many years, I've heard about this. I've heard about the underground projects, the black op projects, the breeding program, the Nephilim, you know, even underneath Area 51, one person says, you know, well, I bet you've never heard of Area 52. And I said, I don't know. No, I never have. And it says, well, below Area 51 is the Nephilim, the breeding program. And I said, and nobody above even knows it's there. And she was reporting this to me as a survivor. I said, okay, well, I just kept working with her. So through the years, I've heard about all these things. So what I would do is try to see if there's any way to verify this. And I began to see that there are a number of reports, scientific reports. You know, Stan Dale, he's written and given reports of what the projects he was involved with when he was in Australia, that these things are really happening. I mean, it's not just stories or accounts coming from survivors. There are massive underground projects that have been going on for decades, trillions of dollars that are not even under congressional oversight. A year that have been going these projects. All people have to do is look up Michael Schratt, Schratt, who's the aviation historian. He's documented all kinds of anti-gravity craft that have been created by these black ops, and they think they're UFOs. I mean, they're made in America. They're here on planet Earth. And many of these people that I've worked with, they said, you know, these things are not just, they're not being piloted by aliens. These are piloted by hybrids. Who are these hybrids? They are the quintessential man that Lady Gaga is talking about. The point is, they're already here, they're hidden, and when they come out in the open, they're going to come out under the ruse and the deception that these are aliens that come back to lead us into their level of evolutionary development, when it's all a complete deception that will result, when you take their DNA, which will give you the DNA upgrade, the mark of the beast, then you'll be damned. It is the biggest deception that is about to break upon the human race that the mankind has ever known. Jesus said, had those days not been shortened, that is, leading up to the return of the Son of Man, no flesh would be saved. And we're right
Amen.
On the cusp of that.
Amen, Pastor Riggs. That's powerful. Hey, back to Lady Gaga's comment. That came out in, I think, February of 2011. And then I don't know if you saw it, but on YouTube, this video hit the YouTube you know, seen somewhere that summer, I think it was around July, there were these two Swedish or Norwegian women that were hit by a car on a highway in Great Britain. And I'm not talking just glanced. I mean, they were hit. Flew up in the air, came down, another one ran them over. I don't know if you're familiar with it. They got up like they were super soldiers. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, no, I watched that. I viewed it several times. And they were twinned. You could tell that they were twinned. So they were probably programmed twins, and that's something that was programming that was developed by Dr. Josef Mengele in Auschwitz. So they fit all the profile of having been twinned, and so they had symbiotic and spiritual connections with each other. But yeah, when you see them hit, and one was hit twice, and the way they get up, I mean, it, you know, it is I don't know if they're necessarily hybrids or not, but they were certainly enhanced in some way to be able to take that kind of punishment and still represent the threat to the officers and the people who are trying to help them. I mean, they were just completely beyond anything that would explain a normal human response to that kind of tragedy.
Now, what blows my mind with this entire thing, Pastor, is I show this to people, and I say, we have something going on here. This is not normal, and people just look at me. So on a very fundamental level, back to the left of that line I drew earlier in the interview, we just have people that aren't involved in any of this but are totally brain dead to even being able to critically think and see this as something very abnormal and very serious. I don't know if you've seen that or you can address that, but
yeah.
That video sticks to my mind on what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think too, John and Kenneth and those that are listening, is that this level of evil can be very intimidating for people who don't know their authority or their position in Christ.
Amen.
And so it's an overload, and so they withdraw. And it's fear. And Jesus said, you shall tread upon scorpions and serpents, and no harm shall befall you. So we have to know our authority in Christ. I was listening to an interview the other day for Russ Dizdar. He was on Hageman & Hageman. And at the last Branson conference, one of the things he did is he stood up in front of the audience, and as he's giving his presentation, he asked the question, and there's a large audience, how many of you know your authority in Christ? And 90% didn't raise their hands.
Wow.
So, you know, on our website, not my website, but if you go into the contact portion, there's the Christian Book Ministry. On that page, Webmaster has two books. One is called The Authority of the Believer by John McMillan. As a missionary, the authority of the intercessor. I mean, people need to get into the Word. They need to be instructed. They need to know their authority. Because once we start to exercise that authority, we are on the offense. And the greatest casualties in amongst believers is those who are not in the warfare. If we're in the warfare, we're getting bruised. We're paying the penalty. But if we're on the offense, the best defense is to be on a good offense. If we are afraid and we're overwhelmed by this kind of information, then we need to get a bigger God box and step into the provision that God has made for us in these last days.
Oh, yeah, amen. As a matter of fact, if you just want a really, you know, rudimentary spiritual warfare primer, you can go back into our radio show archive. We did a radio show entitled Spiritual Warfare Basics. And, you know, we covered a lot of the scripture to help enable you from a biblical standpoint. But we also give you some examples of, you know, real world learning. The kind of stuff that you find out when you study these things for years and years and years, and you're involved with cleaning houses and dealing with pots and pans flying around the room and cupboards slamming, and you got to get in there and kick these things out of there.
That's right.
You know, you kick them like a dog, because you have to understand, yeah, we are servants of man, but we are the masters of the devil. Praise Jesus. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name, that's the name of Jesus. They will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues, and they will take up servants. They will drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. Okay, folks, you are not a victim of the devil. Okay, you are the master of the devil and his demons, and you, with the authority of Jesus Christ in you, command them, kick them out in Jesus' name. Praise God. Wow, so this is exciting. Oh, I have to ask you this question, Pastor. Did you, in all of your work, did you ever hear the term or name Dr. Green?
Oh, yes, that's one of the code names for one of those Nazi programmers that have brought over from Germany, Dr. Black, Dr. Green. I personally believe, some say he's separate from Dr. Mengele. Most people would say this is one of the code names for Dr. Mengele, who was here in America and oversaw some of the MKUltra stuff at a very secret level. He was shielded by Mengele. In fact, Dr. Colin Ross even comments on that in his books. But if people want to listen to that, if they go to the Byte Show on my webpage, Remembering Dr. Mengele, I think also have it listed under the SRADID tab, we have people that have given account of their history with Dr. Mengele, and I believe Dr. Black, Dr. Green. I believe, and I can't verify this, I have no way, but I think it's just one of the code names that was for Mengele or one of his very close associates or proteges.
Wow, that is just unbelievably powerful. Pastor, will you share with folks, you know, your resources again, how they can get in touch with you if they know somebody who needs help, you know, where, you know, your website, things like that. Will you share that with folks again?
Well, yes, my website is just dougriggs.org. I mean, that gets you into the home page. But under there, under the counseling, if people really need a counseling ministry or some good resources for, you know, basic counseling and things that address a number of problems that are oppressing people, they can go to the counseling tab and look at the some of the books and resources I have there, Prayers of Renunciation, and that will address many of those issues. If a person has a history of trauma and dissociation, then that involves, you know, some specialized ministry. If they're under that same counseling tab, if they look under counseling centers, there's the Deeper Life International. There's three centers mentioned there where people can call and say, you know, can you refer somebody? Is there someone you can refer me to in my area? So I have those on there because I'm not involved with doing that long distance. And then under the SRADID page, that addresses specifically what we're talking about on this particular show tonight in terms of satanic ritual abuse, trauma-based mind control. That's mentioned there. Also, back under the Bite page section, I did a number of interviews with other counselors like my friend Dr. Preston Bailey, who has been working with SRADID since 1984. He's trained counselors all over the United States, Canada, and Germany. We've been friends for about 18 years. I've done a number of interviews with him that people can listen to. So if this is new and people are they feel like the Lord is leading them to be trained in this area, why, you know, they can listen to those resources. Again, the conference we did in Pretoria, South Africa is under the SRADID page. It's at the very bottom there. There are 8 audio recordings of that particular 3-day seminar. That was all designed to train counselors and psychologists and professionals and Christians to work with this particular field. So it doesn't answer all the questions, but it does try to cover enough where people can at least get started.
Oh, amen. Praise God. Well, Pastor, you know, we're going to wind this show down now. I was wondering, would you like to close with a prayer?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to.
Praise Jesus.
So, Father God, we just give you thanks, and we do acknowledge that your word makes it very clear that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, the heavenlies in Christ, that we are now seated together with Christ in heavenly places, and that our position in union with Christ is far above all rule, authority, and principality and power. And so my prayer is for all the listeners that may be tempted to be overwhelmed, that this is, you know, too much and fearful, that in Jesus' name we just command all the fear that would seek to come upon any listener to be bound to silence and inactivity. And we proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord over all that which would cause fear. And we command all fear to be subject to the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, who is exalted and seated at the right hand of God the Father, far above all rule, authority, and principality and power. And that your blessing, guidance, and protection would be upon all the listeners, Father God, and that whatever purpose this interview would accomplish, you would guide, direct, oversee, and protect those that would be listening so that they would only go where you lead them and would not get involved with anything out of curiosity, but they would be led by you in all things. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor, for joining us tonight. What a blessing. We hope we can bring you on again.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.